Today's Money Mover, JetBlue CEO Joanna Garrity. Her first earnings report, summer travel demand, airline consolidation. Carl Quintanilla, Sarah Eisen. Money Movers, today 11 Eastern, CNBC.
Options Action is brought to you by TD Ameritrade, where you gain access to research tools to help you sharpen your trading strategies.
Happy Friday, Options Action fans. I'm Scott Wapner in tonight for Melissa Lee. We've got a big show lined up for you tonight. Here is what is on deck.
Will UPS pick up where FedEx left off? Pass the packing tape, because Professor Ko is ready to deliver for you. Then, playing to win. Tony Zhang is laying out all his cards on the casino stock. And a look back and look ahead. Carter Worth powers through the next leg of the energy trade. Why idling could actually be the best thing for your profit engine right now. It's time to risk less and make more. Options Action starts right now.
Let's get into it right now. Delivery stocks seeing big gains over the past year as online sales surged to record levels. FedEx posting a big beat on earnings this week. Mike Ko says another name in that space is ready to deliver big time for investors. The professor, that's what they call him. He kicks it off for us with your call to action. Hey, Mike.
So we're taking a look at UPS. You know, this is an interesting situation because, of course, we have the S&P here trading not far off of its all-time highs. We're seeing some pretty epic valuations in a lot of spaces. But taking a look at UPS, this is a name that actually is trading at a relative discount to the market, trading about 17.6 times forward earnings. And when you look at this, you might say, well, there could be some valid reasons for that. Among those, of course, we did see that big uptick in e-commerce as a result of the pandemic. But the problem for transportation companies like UPS is that that B2C business, margins on that aren't quite as good as they are in B2B. And then, of course, people are looking beyond the pandemic and they're thinking, well, maybe that tailwind starts to turn into a headwind. Personally, I think that obviously the secular shift in e-commerce is still fully upon us, but actually some of those pressures on margins could actually be alleviated. So even if we see a little bit of a pullback, people go back to shopping in person, I don't think that's going to be such a big drawback. So personally, I think UPS represents a bit of an opportunity here. Now, they already reported earnings in February. We're looking forward to them reporting the next time sometime in April. But as I was taking a look at this, I think one of the things we could look to do is buy some essentially at-the-money calls. I was looking out to June, looking at those 165 calls, and then selling nearer-dated April 170 calls against it. Now, when I was looking at this earlier today, it would cost a little over $5 to put that trade on. Those 165s were about 7.25, and then you were collecting a little bit less than 2 to sell those 170s in April against it. The idea, as always, is to try to collect premium on those faster decaying, near dated upside options. Now, oftentimes when we put these diagonals on, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get basically a net debit, or we're spending premium that is less than the difference between the strikes. In this case, we're actually spending about the difference between the strikes. But remember that near dated options expires earlier than that longer dated one. So this is a situation where actually the stock has to run well through that higher strike before that actually creates problems for us. But I think UPS is one of the few places we can look for value. And I think some of the concerns are a little bit overblown about how they come out of the backside of this pandemic.
Yeah, Mike, thanks. I mean, Carter, the stock chart looks pretty good. What about the technicals? How does it shape up?
It does. And the premise here is that often you get a good beat out of one. We see this in Home Depot or Lowe's, Coke or Pepsi. You have a chance that you get it out of the other. And so while earnings aren't immediate, let's look at three charts. This is the setup, which is to say you have a stock that was range bound for 3 years, and you can see the line I've drawn. And then you have a powerful resolution of that 3-year standoff. And then second chart, the stock is consolidating again, right? So periods of equilibrium are typically the setup for the next directional move. And that is the betting here, is that this sideways action, I mean, after all, it's been a massive underperformer to the market. And so, frankly, is FedEx. And then FedEx coming to life in line with its good results. The thinking is that UPS will also come to life. So the final chart, it's just a comparative chart. It's very straightforward. And you can see the railroad tracks. I mean, this is FedEx and UPS. And while over time they diverge, on a here and now basis, the thinking is that just as FedEx came to life, having been a dullard, we think UPS is about to do the same thing.
All right, Carter, thank you. Tony, does the professor's trade pass the test or what?
It absolutely does. I think both on the technical and fundamental side, I like this trade. You have a great technical setup. You, as Carter showed you, that trading range between 158 and 168. It looks ready to break out here to the upside, and especially FedEx's earlier breakout here today is really the template that we could use to look for a breakout here. And as Mike said, the business, if you look at the fundamentals, it looks quite strong here. 21% year-over-year revenue growth, and the fact that the margin collapsed this year, I would expect that we're going to see some meaningful recovery on that. For those reasons, I think trading at 18 times next year's earnings, this is a company that's fairly inexpensive. Now, when we look at Mike's trade here, he's choosing to sell the April 170s, and as he was saying, he's paying a little bit more than the vertical width here of that diagonal, which does mean that this starts to underperform if UPS starts to break out above 170 significantly. And based on the technicals, that is what I'm expecting. I'm expecting a breakout here up into that 180 area. So I do think that I would probably choose to sell a slightly higher strike price to give myself a little bit more room to the upside.
Mike, I'll give you the last word since you had the first word with your trade.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key issue here from a fundamental standpoint, we've got new management, new CEO, and I think they definitely are a company that has been challenged in the past operationally, but they're really focusing on developments in the IT space and investing in that area. I think that's going to help them tremendously, and it's particularly in sort of managing those sort of peak periods, demand periods that they've struggled with in the past. So I actually really am optimistic going forward. And I think what Tony is saying is a valid concern. If some of you have that concern, then obviously you could look to adjust that strike a little bit higher. But personally, I think that the market right now is looking at a level where it's hard for me to see it really shooting higher at this point. I just want to be long that longer dated call.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking as well about gambling during fast money and the trade there. Let's turn our attention now to the reopening trade because that plays a big part of it. Tony is all in on casinos. He's about to line up a trade that could be a real winner. Get it, Tony?
I get it now. So I wanted to take a look at the pullback here from Wynn this week as a way to get into this reopening trade, not only from casinos, but also from, as you said, March Madness in fast money. If we look at the long-term chart here of Wynn, it's been an underperformer here since 2018, lower lows since 2018. But over the past 4 weeks, it started to break above that that downtrend, higher highs, higher lows. This signals a potential reversal here from this long-term underperformance here from Wynn. And if we zoom into this breakout here, the stock broke out from 117 and quickly rose to 137 and has spent the last 3 weeks consolidating, moving sideways, pulling back a little. And I think that is the opportunity to seek some exposure for the long side. And when you look at the business here for Wynn, they are fairly well diversified in the casino space. They have a fairly equal amount of exposure to Macau, Vegas, and even Boston on the East Coast. And they just recently established their majority stake in the online betting, online mobile betting bets, BetBull. And this is really the segment of the market that's fastest growing here is that online gaming. So for those reasons, I like this stock. I think it's likely going to break out here. So when you look at the options here, the implied volatility is at 52-week lows. So the options are extremely cheap relative to its history. So the trade structure I'm looking to use is to go out to May, and I'm buying the 135-155 call vertical here, spending about $11.20 for that May 135. That's the at-the-money call option, collecting about $4.35 selling the May 155s. Net-net here, I'm spending about $6.85 on this call debit spread, and this is risking only about 5% of the underlying stock price, which is important to me given the fact that this stock is trading at a 52-week high. We are going into a slightly softer market here, and I want to make sure I protect my downside using a vertical spread like this.
Got you. Carter, Tony makes a compelling fundamental case, right? He gave a list of all the reasons why this is a great trade to make now. What about the technicals and the charts? Do they match up with Tony's fundamental case?
Sure, and you heard him refer to the breakout above the downtrend line as well as the recent pullback, which are obviously very technical in terms of those thoughts. The key here is there is some overhead supply at 150, and so it's a case where you do want to do it through options rather than being outright long the stock. One thing we know is that there's bifurcation in the space, right? Caesars and LVS, big new highs, and you've got Wynn and MGM having been laggards, and that is either the opportunity or the risk.
Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I'll leave it to these guys to talk about the technicals. I will say that fundamentally, it does seem fairly fully valued to me here. You know, Tony was talking about 2018, and that's the last time it saw valuations this high, about mid-2018, well before the taper tantrum, and that's when they did about $6.7 billion in revenue. Of course, they've taken on about $3 billion worth of debt since then, and we're not going to see those revenues again until full year 2023. In fact, actually, the losses from last year and this year essentially are going to wipe out all of the earnings, basically, from the tail end of 2014 all the way through 2022. And, you know, when I'm taking a look at that, I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe we're going to make $3-4 a share in 2022, maybe not even as good as that. You know, to me, the valuation looks a little bit on the rich side. So I think if you're playing for a breakout, that's fine. Use options. But I wouldn't be buying the stock here.
Yeah, I mean, it's one heck of a chart, up almost 200%. In a year. For everything Options Action, check out our website, optionsaction.cnbc.com. And while you're there, sign up for our newsletter. Here's what's coming up next.
Coming up, Carter Worth updates our energy trades. It ain't a stool without a third leg. And why you should just sit on it. We'll explain. Plus, calling all Options Action fans, reach into your pocket. Grab your phone and tweet us your question at Options Action. If it's nice, we'll answer it on air when Options Action returns.
How do you land your dream job? It starts by acing the interview. Go to cnbcmakeit.com/courses to register now and learn exactly what hiring managers are looking for with CNBC Make It's new career-boosting online course, where experts share their secrets for a dynamic resume, coming across with confidence, what to wear, and more. For a limited time, save 50% with our introductory offer. Register now at cnbcmakeit.com/courses.
All right, welcome back to Options Action. Been a rough week, to say the least, for the energy trade. There's your chart. The XLE ETF that tracks the space falling 7% just since Monday. And just 2 weeks ago on this very show, Mike Coe bet on this exact situation.
You have very high implied volatilities as well. That's not surprising because a lot of these companies have relatively high levels of debt, and they're based on a commodity which itself is exhibiting a lot of volatility, and they're tied to something volatile as well, which is the reopening. So as I take a look at this, I think that this might be an opportunity to expect that XLE could hit the pause button here. And so I was taking a look at potentially using a calendar put spread. I was specifically looking at the April 9th weekly June 50 put spread as a calendar spread. Now, I was looking at those weekly options because those were the ones where we're seeing a very high implied volatility.
All right, Mike. So far, so good. There's still plenty of time left in the trade. What do you think? Let's get back to the chart master, Carter, right? I mean, you had a problem this week. Rates up, dollar up, oil down.
Right, so crude oil dropped 14%, gasoline down 12%, and of course, energy stocks had a concomitant sell-off. Let's look at three charts. What we know is that from the October low, just think about this, the XLE is up 100% versus the S&P up 20%. A five-bagger versus general equities. And you've had three distinct drawdowns, and I've annotated them there in the first chart. Down 10%, down 13%, and this one actually peaked to trough down more than 10%. The second chart puts the drawdowns in context, right? We've been in this well-defined channel, a period in which XLE has doubled. And how long does it take to recoup a drawdown of 10%+? That's the key. And after drawing down like this, final chart, this is just the channel. Just to get back to the top, typically more than a month. So if one's bullish, it's time that's the problem. Or if one's bearish, it doesn't get back to the top. It goes all the way to the bottom of the channel. The point is here, after our trade from 2 weeks ago, which is making the bet to fade this, it's likely to be fallow now. And I think being short volatility, if you will, is the thing to do for energy.
Okay, so Mike, you've seen the analysis, you've seen Carter's work. What do you do next?
Yeah, I mean, just talking about what I think is going to happen for both the price of oil and energies, generally the whole complex, and also the stocks. I mean, obviously, one of the things we had to expect was that there was going to be a sharp rebound in oil prices, net of basically seeing the tail end of essentially the economic shutdown that we've experienced. And of course, we're now seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And one of the reasons that you have so much volatility in oil when that takes place is because we are both supply and demand constrained. It is not so easy to ramp and decline the production of oil and also our on the consumption side. So that's what creates that near-term volatility. When that supply-demand imbalance emerges, you start to see a lot of price volatility, but we're probably going to see that begin to stabilize here and probably at levels right around where we are right now. So I think that was one of the reasons we expected it to begin to falter at the levels that we saw it, and one of the reasons we expect it to stabilize here. The other thing, of course, that we were talking about is the fact that the near-dated implied volatility, that is the price of options that expire in the near term, we're talking about the ones that expire in March and April and late April, relative to those options that are a little bit further out in time, is quite high. And so the exact same dynamic that existed when we first initiated this trade, which, as you may remember, was the April 9th, June 50 put calendar. We were buying the June 50 puts and selling those April 9th weeklies against it. Now, that trade has moved in our favor. Those June 50 puts are higher, and the April 9th 50 puts are slightly lower. But the dynamic still exists. So some of you may have this trade on. I suggest that you stay with it. But for those of you who don't, I think there is still time to put the trade on. And the principal reason for that is that those near-dated options are going to decay more rapidly. These types of trades, when you start to see some stabilization in price, have a higher probability of profit than a lot of other trades that you can do in the option space where you need something to happen. Here, we're not looking for something to happen. And the other thing is that the other way to short premium is sometimes just to sell naked options, which carries unlimited risk. This is a more risk-limiting way to basically try to capitalize on that same dynamic.
Okay. So, Tony, does it make sense? What do you think?
It makes a lot of sense. As Carter was saying, he was referring to selling straddles or selling being short volatility. And one of the ways that we usually do that is being short straddles. But we usually don't use that type of strategy here on Options Action because it has unlimited risk. It takes a lot of capital. So the trade structure that Mike is using, a calendar spread, is really a limited risk strategy that mimics a short straddle trade. And it only requires the debit amount to enter into that trade. Now, the question is the timing on a short straddle. Many investors feel that it's best to sell a short straddle when they've identified an established range. But our research actually shows it's best to short a straddle after a big move. And that's exactly what we've seen here in crude oil. We've been looking at the exhaustion here in crude oil for the past few weeks. We finally got that major correction here this week. Now that we have it and stabilized around that $60 level, I think this is the right time to get back into this trade if you weren't already in this from last week.
All right, good stuff, guys. Thank you. Coming up, you ask, we answer. Tweet us your burning questions for Options Action, and you might just get your answer on the air. We are back right after this. Welcome back to Options Action. Time to take your tweets. Our first viewer tonight asks, how would you trade covered calls for Apple off its high by nearly 20% and stuck between $120 and $128 for the last couple of weeks? Mike Coe, why don't you take that?
Yeah, this is actually a great question, and I think it's important for people to remember that covered calls are really an investment strategy. That's when you sell calls against stock that you own. And stocks like Apple tend to be long-term holdings for a lot of folks in their portfolio. So if you've been selling calls steadily as the stock has been rising at a very steady rate up from last October to that high that we saw, and then you continue to do that on the way down, I think this is an investment strategy you can stick with. Why? Because the implied volatility in Apple still remains relatively high. It's about 35%. And for a company that doesn't carry any net debt, really, this is really a good investment strategy. We're at relatively high valuations for Apple, so I think it's something you can stick with despite the fact it's not trading at its all-time highs.
All right, Carter, you know, Jonathan Rodriguez has a question. What's going on with Bank of America? Is it going up or down, and when? A $40 call or $39.50 put, right? This sort of brings it full circle back to the top of our show with the fast money in the banks, Carter.
Sure. So, I mean, essentially, listen, what's going on with this stock in particular, it's straight up and to the right with all financials. What's important, though, is that Bank of America outperformed the BKX index every year for the past 4 years, and now it's flagging a bit. I think you go with a 39.5 put, and you fade this very strong move.
Okay, Tony, to you, our next viewer asking on Walgreens, thinking of going long. Since May 1st, everyone can get vaccines. Do I sell two of the July 62.50 calls and buy the January 21st, 2022 $60 call at the cost of about three shares? What do you think?
So first of all, I like the technical setup of Walgreens. I like the fundamental thesis that you have, and I generally like the trade structure that you have. The only comment that I have is that the July options, which are roughly 4 months from expiration, are a little too far out when it comes to selling. I'd prefer to sell a shorter dated option, collect a little less premium, but do it faster so I can do it more often before that January expiration for the long option.
Carter, we got one quick one, last one for you. SLV or the silver miners in general?
In general, like it all. And this is the sort of no man's metal. You have industrial metals, which have been great, and copper, and nickel, and tin, and you have gold, a monetary metal, which has been under pressure. Silver is range-bound. It looks an awful lot like the UPS chart. And ultimately, I think it gets resolved up, not down.
All right, we'll take a quickie. We'll come back. We got the final call next. All right, guys, let's do it. Final call. Carter, you're up first.
UPS, exactly the same price it was 7 months ago. Unch, that's a long time going sideways. Resolution likely up.
All right, Tony.
I'm betting on the reopening trade with Wynn buying a call vertical here.
All right, Mike, go.
Call diagonals in UPS are the way to make your bullish play there, and stick with that XLE put calendar.
All right, good stuff. Great weekend, everybody. That does it for us here on Options Action. We, of course, will be back next Friday, 5:30 Eastern. Don't go anywhere, though. Mad Money with Jim Cramer starts right now.
Today's Money Mover, JetBlue CEO Joanna Garrity. Her first earnings report, summer travel demand, airline consolidation. Carl Quintanilla, Sarah Eisen. Money Movers, today 11 Eastern, CNBC.